Each year on the second Sunday of Advent, I invite a member of a religious community, a sister or a brother, to open the Word of God for us, to help us reflect on the scriptures the church places before us today, and also to speak about the work and the needs of retired religious. And this year I have invited Sister Ann Becker of the School Sisters of Notre Dame and pastoral minister at St. Matthew's to make that sharing for us. Sister Ann.
Good morning. It's good to be here with you. I love those readings, especially at this Mass. I love seeing all the children, because especially that first reading was for you and about you. So we're glad you're here with us. I appreciate this opportunity to reflect with you on today's readings and to share some thoughts about retired women and men religious, whose gifts we celebrate these next 2 weeks. Advent readings are about hope. Hope is not wishful thinking, even though we often reduce the word to that when we say, "I hope I win the lottery." No, the Christian virtue of hope is expecting that what we believe will happen, that what God has promised will become reality. In that first reading, Isaiah, the prophet of Advent, paints a world in harmony where wolves lie down with lambs. He captures a picture of children who bind us together with their antics, their guileless questions, their uncanny way of naming the truth. We grown-ups can learn much from them, and a child will lead them. We heard about John the Baptist in our gospel. He's the forerunner of the gospel message of justice. He often brought together the lion and the lamb. Today's Catholic social teachings bring us back to those commandments of love, love of God and love of neighbor. Some of them are respect all life, opt for the poorest of the poor, care for the earth, work in solidarity with all people with whom we share this planet. John was radical in his love for the poor and the marginalized. He was radical when he saw injustice. I wonder how he would have fared today. Come to think of it, he didn't fare very well back in 30 AD. His words were spoken out of passion for justice, for the people who were powerless, who are silenced by life's tragedies. For them, John's voice was a voice of hope. One of the Psalms, Psalm 72, has the verse, "Justice shall flourish in his time, and fullness of peace to come." Justice work is hard work. Some time ago, a parish in which I ministered wanted to start a social justice committee. I used the proverb to explain the difference between charity and justice. Give someone a fish, and he'll eat for a day. Teach him to fish, and he'll eat for a lifetime. Charity is the first phrase. Works like loaves and fishes, Joseph's coat, the giving tree, and so on. Justice is the second phrase, to teach others. We cannot do justice alone. Justice takes the voices of many who are passionate, voices and actions that help persons break through the systems that hold them in slavery. Now back to my committee. In deciding what name we should take on, one member said that we could be the Anglers Club. But because justice is hard work, we have to do more than just fish for someone. To him, to call it our Social Justice Committee was hard because it would demand commitment, a heart, intense care about those who are powerless and who are caught in the system. In the end, we did call our committee the Social Justice Committee, and we got involved along with Isaiah and other groups to begin our hard justice work. In my talk today, what I want to say about SSNDs, I'm saying also for all women and men religious. All have the same needs today. I just happen to know my community best. The School Sisters of Notre Dame were founded in 1833 in Germany, where only boys were being taught. Our Blessed Teresa Gerhardinger opened schools for girls and women. Then, when we were invited to America in 1847, we taught girls and boys whose families were immigrants because neither had schools. We went where there were needs not being served. Wherever sisters were called, our immediate needs were provided for by the parish. Our housing, that's why we have convents, a school, our transportation. I remember the food showers that helped fill our pantries. What payment we received was adequate for that time. I remember back in the 1960s receiving $50 a month. At that time, I was teacher of two grades and choir director. Because I was interested in SSND statistics right here at St. Matthew's, I did some research study. The information that I found, you can get at the door. It's this yellow sheet. It names every sister who served here at St. Matthew's since its beginning. The School Sisters of Notre Dame arrived here in 1887. I found that 350 sisters have served St. Matthew's community. This is a total of 1,622 years of service. And St. Matthew's Parish gave sisters to the SSND community. 50 women who call St. Matthew's their home became SSNDs. What was not considered at that time was what sisters needed when they could no longer teach. There was no money set aside for retirement, and until 1972, religious didn't qualify for Social Security. Also, in 1960, the Mankato province had 900 sisters. Today, there are just over 300 of us. And many of them are over 70 years old. But in some ways, sisters never retire. Maybe you heard of the Nuns Study and the book Aging with Grace. Back in the 1980s, sisters over 75 were invited to volunteer their personal resources for the study of Alzheimer's. When they died, they donated their brains to science. We've learned much from that study. The study today has a new home at the University of Minnesota. Also, retired sisters have a powerful prayer ministry. Just ask them to pray for your intentions and you'll see. On the other side of the age spectrum, we have fewer sisters under 50, yet our ministries continue. We risk not having enough for retirement in order to use our resources for the poor, for women, for children who are vulnerable. For example, here in St. Paul, about 25 years ago, we opened a transition home for women and their children at the former St. Casimir Convent in St. Paul. It's called TLC, Teresa Living Center. 15 years ago, two sisters opened a farm home for abused and at-risk children in Cambridge. Little Farm Children's Home serves children in Isanti County. Our own Sister Audrey facilitated the opening of a reading tutoring program on St. Paul's East Side for tutoring children in reading during and after school hours. It has now expanded to include students at Johnson Elementary, at Bruce Vento School, North End School, and most recently, right here at St. Matthew's. More is our school in St. Paul for refugees and immigrants from more than 12 countries with severe poverty, with persecution. There, adults learn English, prepare for citizenship, and learn necessary life skills. We have sisters in Guatemala coordinating a radio school, doing pastoral ministry, and working with indigenous people. Sisters began a Hispanic ministry in the New Ulm Diocese, where they serve with immigrants and immigrants' concerns. Sisters minister in Africa, where amazingly we have 80 women who are at different stages of becoming sisters. Today, we still risk not having enough for retirement in order to use our resources to serve the poor. So now I ask you to do what you can, not out of pity, because we don't want that, but out of a sense of caring and justice. Maybe it's your way of saying thanks. You can do this by, first, your financial contribution. Envelopes are available for you. Second, I ask you to pray for retired religious. You might write to them, contact those who have influenced you. Sisters like to get calls and letters and visits, and your friendship is important. You might use this sheet to find your former teachers or former friends. And third, I ask you to pray for and encourage vocations. Maybe among the children who are present here, we have new sisters or new brothers or priests. Pray for vocations right here in your family and right here in your parish. God does continue to call young people to life as religious. And now I say thank you for your gifts to sisters in the past and today. Thank you for your gifts of prayer and friendship, of food and funds. And may God specially bless each of you during this Advent and Christmas time. Thank you.
I invite you each to take a copy of the church bulletin as you leave. There is a flyer inside as well as an envelope. And the envelope is for the gift you wish to make, the contribution you wish to make to the Religious Retirement Fund. And that second collection will be taken up a week from today. So please take the flyer and the bulletin home. We're not talking here about an act of charity. We're talking here about a work of strict justice. For generations, religious brothers and sisters received no salary. They received a small stipend which would cover basic essential needs. In other words, we have a huge amount of deferred payment that is owed to those communities. A huge amount of deferred recompense for the service of those people. You know, there was never a dream that sisters or brothers would retire. Everyone expected that Sister Anne would, she would work day in and day out, and then she would drop dead with her boots on. That was the assumption. Well, that's not the case. That's not the case. And we have many, many religious retired men and women who have served us. The picture of the Catholic Church in the United States would be incredibly different. It would be almost unimaginable without the service of religious communities. In many, many ways, it is the service of sisters and brothers who have made this American church what it is today. Well, I invite you to be very generous in your support of the Retirement Fund for Religious. And I remind you that collection again will be taken up next weekend. Please let us pray.